فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ
So the magicians fell down in prostration to Allah.
قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ
They said, "We have believed in the Lord of the worlds."
Brothers and sisters, we have reached the 45th verse of chapter Shu'ara. فَأَلْقَى مُوسَىٰ عَصَاهُ فَإِذَا هِيَ تَلْقَفُ مَا يَأْفِكُونَ Then Moses cast down his rod. Then behold, it swallowed up that which they falsely displayed. Also the 46th verse says, فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ Then the sorcerers were flung prostrate. As you were with us, dear listeners, we said in the previous episodes about the previous verses that Pharaoh and the wizards got very happy and satisfied by seeing their wizardly action. As the 44th verse said, فَأَلْقَوْ حِبَالَهُمْ وَعِسِيَّهُمْ وَقَالُوا بِعِزَّةِ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّا لَنَحْنُ الْغَالِبُونَ They cast down the ropes and the rods, and they said, by Pharaoh's dignity, we shall certainly be the victors. So these wizards were sure of their victory over Pharaoh and his brother Aaron. And the interesting point, as you may remember, was that these sycophants started with the name of Pharaoh. They relied on the power of Pharaoh. But in these verses, we read that Moses ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam did not give them so much time to enjoy their action. The Holy Quran says, فَأَلْقَى مُوسَىٰ عَصَاهُ Then Moses cast down his rod. فَإِذَا هِيَ تَلْقَفْ مَا يَأْفِكُونَ When behold, it swallowed up that which they falsely displayed. Before Prophet Moses starts casting down his rod, people were astonished. But when Prophet Moses cast down his rod and it swallowed up all their wizardry actions, at that time all people got silent. The mouths remained open. The eyes remained still out of astonishment, as if they were dried over there. But very soon, these were terrible cries that took place of silence. Some of the people escaped. They did not know where to run. Some stood to see what would finally happen. And some unintentionally started crying. But the most important scene was the faces of the wizards as well as the Pharaoh himself. The wizard's mouth remained open surprisingly. And this is the beginning of the change. At that time, everything changed. The wizards who advocated Pharaoh, who fought Moses, who said, بِعِزَّةِ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّا لَنَهْلُ الْغَالِبُونَ They were the ones who said, by Pharaoh's dignity we shall certainly be the victors. They came to their senses because they knew all mysteries and skills of wizardry. They were the ones, they were the most powerful ones, who selected some means of their own wizardry from the staffs. And they added on some ropes in order to prove that they are the strongest. So they were assured that what has happened before their eyes is not certainly magic. It is a great divine miracle. The Holy Quran says, فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَأَجِدِينَ This is the change. Then the sorcerers were flung prostrate.
على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
فبدا وضيئا كالنجوم تألقا تمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly, the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
Now, there are some points, dear listeners, to be discussed. So, brothers and sisters, about the 46th verse, فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَاجِرِينَ, then the sorcerers were flung prostrate. This is what happened as soon as the wizard saw that Moses' staff changed into a great serpent, they became faithful. And it is narrated that when Imam Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, appears, the Western and the Eastern experts will believe in him because they will understand the magnificence of his job better than the others. This is the system of the universe. That is why we say that under Allah's administration, the universe is on the way of perfection and it will continue its path up to that point. We have got more to discuss about these verses of this chapter. God willing, we'll discuss them later on. Thank you for staying with us, dear listeners. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss your problems, questions you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. A child is like a white paper on which you can write good things or bad things. Entire personality of a child is developed by the parents, by the upbringing they do. And in this program, we try to provide all the necessary information that is required to bring up your child in the best possible way. The answers of your questions are based upon Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. Today in our studio, we have had the pleasure to invite Professor Salman Nakavi, who is a faculty member of Al-Mustafa University and researcher in the Hawza Ilmiya of Qom. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you very much.
Well, in our previous sessions, we have been discussing about the relationship, the domains of relationship. We discussed how we can detach a child from the digital world and develop his relationship with the environment. I would want you to give a brief of the previous sessions, and now then let's move on to the next topics.
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Supreme Absolute Being. We have been discussing the worldview that we as the followers of the faith should have. In this world of materialism, where it's very difficult to detach ourselves from the worldly attractions and things which keep us
busy
on the earth. Basically, yeah. Yes?
The things that keep us busy all the time.
Busy all the time. Of course, we have to be busy all the time. But the important thing is, what is the intention? With what intention
are
we?
With what you're going to be busy,
yes,
with.
What are we targeting? And what do we want to achieve? And this is very important, because when we, as I may have mentioned, that when we talk about the pure intention or sincerity in purpose, or we talk about the niyyah, it's not something that you just make when you're doing an action, when you're carrying out something. It's something which has a very deeper background in your mind. There's a whole worldview behind it. There's a whole ideology behind it. So therefore, we as human beings, and especially as parents, should know that what is our purpose and goal in life? What do we want to achieve?
Yeah.
And as we all say, that we want to achieve proximity to Allah Almighty.
True.
And I have been trying to define and to explain what does that proximity mean.
Yeah.
And proximity, of course, as we know, that it's not possible to gain a physical proximity to Allah Almighty, because He's not a physical entity.
Yeah.
So in what are we becoming close to Him?
True.
You're close to someone when you're a relative, you say you're close to him, or you live together, or you live close by, or some. And these are all physical things.
And now how you can get spiritually attached or close to someone, I'll ask you that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. We are with Professor Salman Nakavi, and we're discussing about Islamic upbringing, different topics, and Professor was discussing how we can develop spiritual relationship. Yes.
So basically, I've been emphasizing on the fact that we need to develop a relationship with Allah Almighty, and that is at two levels. One is at the level, at the higher level, which encloses it in it every aspect of our lives. And the special relationship which we have when we pray to Him, when we fast, when we go for Hajj,
yeah,
and such rituals that we carry out on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis. These are special acts, spiritual acts that we carry out, where we get charged, where we get rejuvenated, recharged spiritually, to remain spiritual in all other spheres of life also.
Active, yeah.
Spiritually, and our attachment with Allah Almighty is re-entrenched during these spiritual experiences that we have. But that means that it should permeate, this spirituality should permeate all other aspects of our lives. And the four relationships which we are talking about, under the faith in Allah Almighty, under this umbrella, in this spiritual attachment which we have, come the four relationships. And one of them is the special relationship with Allah Almighty, but also the other relationships which we have, especially with other human beings.
Okay.
And the first and foremost relationship which begins for a human being is his attachment with his parents, or the parents with their children, their offsprings.
Yeah.
That's his primary relationship with other human beings, which starts in this world.
Okay.
And especially for this relationship, we have to get prepared for ourselves. Number one, we have to establish that general relationship with Allah Almighty.
Yeah.
And that special relationship with Allah Almighty. And then, according to that worldview that we have, that we talk about saying, well, you see, we need to become spiritually close to Him. We need to become competent to manage our relations.
All right.
And becoming competent requires knowledge and skills and attitude. The proper knowledge and the proper skills, and also the proper attitude.
Yeah.
And this skills, knowledge skill set varies from various relations to from one relationship to the other.
To other relationship, yeah.
Yes. I mean, when you want to pray to Allah Almighty, that requires a special set of knowledge and skills.
Yeah.
When you want to deal with human beings, that requires another set of skills
and knowledge. Yeah.
You can't say, look, I pray very nicely. I have a very good voice. When I pray to Allah, it's with sincerity. It's a beautiful voice, the best possible way. Mm-hmm. But that does not dispense with the fact we need to develop another set of knowledge and skills to deal with our children.
All right.
So what is the knowledge skill set that we require for children? We as parents, we're going for it's a new challenge in our lives.
Yeah. Well, you're trying to say that in order to develop these set of relationships, we first must have knowledge plus skills. Exactly. Knowledge and skills are must. Parents have to educate themselves towards these set of skills so that they can guide their children as well. I'll talk more on that with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
Ya muqiyal khayrat, ya muqiyal khayrat.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "He who recites the Quran before puberty has indeed been given wisdom in his childhood."
Ya muqiyal khayrat, ya
مطي الخيرات.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. Professor said that we need to have those set of skills and knowledge ourselves as parents, and then only we can induce that to our children. Yes, Professor.
Yes, so number one, as I was saying, that under the umbrella of the general relationship with Allah Almighty, we need to become competent in every relationship, especially the relationship with our children. And for that, we have to develop the proper mindset. The world view that we have has to be very comprehensive. We have to understand that Allah Almighty, when He makes us become parents, when we come in, we're coming into that position, He is making us participate in the process of creation and creativity that He has for Himself. He is the supreme creator of everything. He has created the whole universe.
Yeah.
But then the universe has a certain system.
Yeah, set of rules.
Based on cause and effect.
True.
And everything doesn't happen out of the thin air. It happens according to a set of
rules
and laws.
Yeah.
And one of them is that the greatest creation of all, the human being himself, is himself a part of that creative process.
Yeah.
And so parents, by coming together, man and wife, are creating according to that system, according to that plan, according to that design.
Yeah.
They are becoming a part of that creation, that creative process. So that's a great, that's a huge, big honor for them. That Allah Almighty is giving them this
the
honor,
opportunity.
The honor, the dignity, the position
to be parents.
Therefore, that's one thing that we have to understand. And when this human, the third human being, is coming to into
their
existence,
lives, yeah.
The person who is coming into this world, even before he or she is delivered out into this world, in the womb of the mother also, it is a living creature.
Has its rights.
And has to be taken care of.
Yeah.
So as a trust that Allah Almighty is entrusting us with, as a ni'mah.
Yeah. So we said that, we gave a gist of all what we have said so far. There are relationships that need to be developed in a children that need to be developed in a child, and those relationships cannot be developed as such. For that, parents need to educate themselves with a set of skills, with a set of rules, and then only they can induce all those relationships, be that relationship with Allah, how to pray, how to act, how to go for fasting, be that relationship with their parents, be that relationship with other human beings, which we discussed in the previous sessions, or be that relationship with the environment, which is extremely necessary in these days because of the being attached to the digital world so much. Well, here once you said that now the parents have been honored with the parentship by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now they have duties. Now, how parents can act as educators, we'll discuss that in another session, inshallah. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners, for listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also find us on social media platforms by just searching Call of Islam Radio or our official website, that's www.parstoday.com. Until another session, fi amanallah, God bless you all.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Islam solves all of our problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah.
In the limelight.
Queen Elizabeth's death is seen by many as end of a person who for decades inflicted different forms of violence and brutality against rural people, which included colonialism, racism, occupation, coups, etc. But unfortunately, we have to admit that the Queen's legacy will live on in the form of the violent and lasting rule that the royal family has overseen and still profits from. In this regard, we have taken a look at the world media for further details. This is the second part. The British Daily Guardian wrote this headline saying, "Condolences and condemnation. Indigenous people and people of color react to the death of Queen Elizabeth II. According to Guardian, for many, the Queen was the personification of British colonization and the damage it has wreaked in their countries, and they were not afraid to say so. In Australia, Professor Sandy Sullivan from Maguire University tweeting, as this week's host of Indigenous X attempt to explain their reaction and put it into a historical and social context, saying, for those saying we should be magnanimous about the passing of the Queen, a reminder that the Queen inserted it herself into the lives of Indigenous people here multiple times. She wasn't a bystander to the effects of colonization and colonialism. She was an architect of it. What she did do was be an active participant in stealing our land. Instead of handing back, making reparations from her enormous wealth, her agents that she had explicit control of, see the dismissal, continued to steal land, and when they had it all, they stole our children. Too many people fail to understand how inaction and the gathering of wealth is a fundamental in colonial incursion. For everyone saying she was a kindly grandmother, they fail to see that she had a job for decades that oversaw actions that made Indigenous people's lives worse. The website of Truth Out wrote, by design as much as by the accident of her long life, her presence as head of state and head of the Commonwealth, an association of Britain and its former colonies, put a stolid traditional front over decades of violent upheaval, wrote Harvard University history professor Maya Jinnah for New York Times, adding, as such, the Queen helped obscure a bloody history of decolonization whose proportions and legacies have yet to be adequately acknowledged. For almost as long as the monarchy has existed, it had been a colonialist and imperialist power, colonizing and exploiting dozens upon dozens of countries and territories in particular in the global south, many of which share common consequences of poverty and continued oppression. Over centuries, the UK has funneled trillions of dollars from its colonies to enrich itself, and it continues to profit from its racist past and present to this day. The monarchy was built on slavery, establishing a slave trade that saw the transport of millions of Africans and South and North Americans to other countries. The slave trade was so vast, in fact, that it wasn't until 2015 that the country fully paid off its debts to slave owners from freeing slaves in 19th century. Elizabeth, whose rule began in 1952, did not herself enact these policies, and she did do her small part to step in when, for instance, former Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher refused to help end apartheid in South Africa. But others, like those who directly suffered under British imperialism during her time on the throne, say that she has had a direct impact on modern decision-making. Some historians may say it's unclear which of the UK-imposed horrors that occurred under her rule, like those in places like Kenya and Ireland, were authorized by her. Others argue that she bears responsibility that these atrocities happened to begin with. Similarly, this distance between the Crown and the country's political decisions often does not hold for victims of Britain's colonial rule that occurred under Elizabeth. The symbolism of her rule does not escape those on the left who argue that in modern days, the throne is a symbol of oppression, whiteness, and vast wealth inequality in the UK, even if mainstream members of the UK's left do not dare advocate for its abolishment. Elizabeth was at least partially directly responsible for some of the inequalities that the country saw and perpetuated while she was on the throne. In recent years, the Crown has resisted calls for reparations from countries like Barbados and Jamaica for their bloody and abominable exploitation in the British slave trade. The royal family's record of racism domestically over the past decades does not reflect well upon the Crown either. These inequalities have been perpetuated within Buckingham Palace itself. Royal advisers banned coloured immigrants or foreigners from working in the palace until at least the late 1960s, over a decade into Elizabeth's reign. The family's deep-seated racism appears to persist today. In 2020, Duke and Duchess of Sussex Prince Harry and Meghan Markle outright left the royal family over racism within the family, despite protestations from family members like Prince William.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is the way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is the member you are listening to. May Allah accept your mourning for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Today we invite you to listen to an English lecture by Brother Amin Rastani.
But what are those secret ingredients for me, what I do? As a Shia today, as a follower of Imam Hussein today, as a lover of Imam Hussein today, as an Azadar of Imam Hussein today, what do I do? If I'm doing something that's good, if I'm doing something for Allah, I notice that some people do something, it lasts very long. Others, it doesn't last too long. Now, of course, there might be other reasons as well for some things to die out every now and then. Sometimes it's for the best, actually, so that something better comes out of it. Okay? Can't always cling on to things just because they've been happening like that for the past maybe 50, 100 years. Say, this is how it always has to be. No, sometimes something better will come out of it. More refined will come out of it. But why is it that lots of times we see that one person does something, it lasts. Another one does it, it doesn't last. There's a few things that I want to mention here when you find with the movement of Imam Hussein, that inshallah we can get a little bit of that and sprinkle it on what we do in our lives. And if Allah wants and wishes, what we have done lasts. And if it lasts, we get more sawab for what we've done. Even if we leave this dunya, inshallah, you know? I'll give you an example, like Sheikh Abbas al-Qummi. Yes, do we know who he is? Do we know who he is? Sheikh Abbas Qummi. Do we know what Mafatihul Jinan is? Yeah, everyone's nodding, yeah? But if I say, do we know who Shaykh al-Tusi is? Do we know what Misbah al-Mutahajjid is? Do I know what Tahdhib al-Ahkam is? No one knows. Although Shaykh al-Tusi is maybe one of the founding fathers, in a way, of Shi'ism today. No one knows him. But everyone's heard of Shaykh Abbas Qumi. What's going on here? Now, of course, he's in the past 100 years, Shaykh Abbas Qumi. But what I'm trying to highlight here is this, okay? And this is not to discredit Shaykh al-Tusi. But look, we all know Shaykh Abbas al-Qumi. Why? Because of his famous book of Mafatih. You will have a Quran in every Shia household, and you will have a Mafatih, right? He says, when I wrote this book, I was like, man, this is one of those things that's not going to catch on at all. Like, it's never going to work. I can tell this right from the get-go. You know, you hate it when you do something big, and then you're like looking at it, you're like, this ain't going to work. I know it. So Shaykh Abbas Qumi is like, this ain't going to work. And he had written other books, and he said, these were the ones I was sure were going to make it. Who's heard of his other works? I don't know about you guys. I always thought he only had one book. But he has other books too. No one's heard of. Yeah? But everyone's heard of Mafatih. But he didn't even think this was going to make it. And so you look, you see traces of ikhlas in there. Things that he's done. I just remembered now actually. That I remember reading that he had said that he had put off the printing of Mafatih for a year. Some of you might have heard this from me before. He put it off for a year. Think about it. You've written something up. It's like 900 pages, for God's sake, you know? You've done all that work. It's ready for print. And then you say, no, let's wait a year. Who knows? You might die in a year. Who knows? It might get lost. The manuscript that you've written up is going to get lost. I don't know. Like, 1 year I have to wait. We have to wait. Okay, fine. If that's what your wish is. Why though? Tell us why you want to wait. You know what his answer was? Subhanallah. You know, I'm embarrassed to say this up here because, you know, we preach all the time. How much do we live up to what we preach? But look at what he says. He says, this is a book of dua for throughout the year. Observances throughout the year. Correct? I don't want to be an alim that doesn't act upon what he teaches and preaches. If I'm telling people that, hey, here's 900 pages, because this is how thick the book is, by the way. Here's 900 pages of du'as from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the Imams alayhi wasallam. I'm not going to tell people that they can do this while I haven't done it first. So he spends 1 year performing all of what he has prescribed in there. Then it's okay to go for print. These things, brothers and sisters, who knows about these things? Allah knows about these things. And so Allah gives a barakah where He won't give anywhere else. Who cares where the money is? Who cares where the spotlight and the fame and glory is? Where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If Allah is in a barren desert by the name of Karbala, His satisfaction is there, then the barakah is going to be there. If it's going to be where Hajar is going back and forth, that's where it's going to get, the barakah is going to come. Until today we see the barakah. All right. So we want to talk about this. What are those, maybe 7, 8, 9, 10, depending on how you categorize them. What are those things? Number one, Allah's will itself. The irada of Allah itself. Number one. If Allah has willed something, if Allah has willed Karbala and Ashura to take place, then there must be some good reason for it. If Imam Hussein steps up and lives up to the will of Allah, the command of Allah, then you can be sure wonders will happen. And yes, we see the outcome today, till today. And so if Allah wants something, if Allah's will is there, I have to understand, in the short run, long run, it's going to be better for everybody. And so where does that put us with all the commands of Allah towards us? This is wajib, this is haram, this is wajib, this is haram. But of course, this was the biggest one. And so there's a plan here. Allah has willed. If you live up to that, it's going to do wonders. The same way with Hajar alayhi salam. The same way we have anything that Allah has willed and planned, if we carry it out properly, it will do wonders. Look at this, look. You have Hajj, you have Umrah. Everyone's paying millions of dollars a year to go for these things. Like, who cares? But no. Everyone's in love with Hajj, everyone's in love with Umrah. Ramadan. I mean, I mean, when we're kids growing up, we might not like it too much, but like, you look around, everyone's happy when Ramadan comes. Everyone's decorating the home when Ramadan comes. Why? This is something Allah willed. Throughout the year, if I don't want to eat, it's going to be worse, the worst experience ever. But like, when you know Allah's satisfaction is there's a blessing, there's a barakah there. Yeah? And I mean, if you're in an Islamic country, even better. It's even more beautiful, right? But even here, when we're a minority within a minority within a minority, yeah, still we get those vibes. We get those good feelings. Ramadan is about not eating though, not drinking. What are you talking about? Allah's will is there. Other examples. In this month of Ramadan, you have the night of Qadr. Who's going to wake, stay up all night? Man, I don't know about how people do it. Personally, sometimes I look at people like, mashallah, I got to go home. Also, although I go home and I'll do my ibadah there if I can, but like, they're doing it together, mashallah. The night of Qadr. Why? Because Allah's will is there. I can go on and on. Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha. Dude, I didn't see you coming to the programs in Ramadan, but I see you on Eid. It's all good. No problem. Yeah? No love lost. It's all right. You get hundreds, if not thousands, when they for namaz Eid. But it's a namaz. You got to wake up early. Yeah? Still, people enjoy it. Why? Allah's will. Plus, Allah says haram to fast on that day, right? The day of Arafah. And so Muharram and Safar are no exception. Allah's will. That is one of the secret ingredients. And so as a result, من أراد الله بالخير قذف في قلبه حب الحسين وحب زيارته. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He loves somebody, He puts that love in their heart of Hussein. All right. So now, if Allah's will is there, how is He going to pull it off though? Is He going to just tell us, I have willed this? No. He will look at me, and I'm speaking about me right now personally, say, this guy, he likes to be given rewards. Let me give him a few lollipops for this. Spiritual lollipops. Alright? So He will take the rewards up of things. That's what He does. So in Ramadan, why is everyone interested in Quran in Ramadan? We do the math. Like, okay, one verse equals the whole Quran. Like, why not? And so it is a double-edged sword, because after Ramadan, some people might feel like, oh, it's not worth it anymore. That's not good. Okay? We should have a talk about that later, inshallah. That's not good, but look, at the end of the day, Allah knows who He's dealing with. He's dealing with us. And so if He's dealing with us, He knows what gets our attention. So if He wills something, this is how He will make it big. He will do it through the rewards. So Quran, Hajj, Umrah, all these things that I mentioned, you will find that there are huge rewards for them. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done the same thing for Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Oh, Hussein, you'll live forever. To Allah, whenever I face troubles in my life, I close my eyes and see Your shrine and call back every time. Oh, Hussein, You're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Thank you.
You're listening to Hosseiniya from IRIB English Radio by Sayyid Abbas Rezavian. لبیک یا حسین.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. السلام علیک یا ابا عبدالله. Peace and salutations upon you, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I send my condolences for the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We were talking about benefiting from Ziyarat Ashura and reciting it and incorporating it in our personal and spiritual lives. We talked about the final position that when someone acts upon Ziyarat Ashura, they reach, and that is Al-Maqam Al-Mahmud. And it is something that we ask Allah to give us in such a time period and other time periods when we recite this ziyarat. We talked about one of the most important aspects of this position, and that is a person starts developing the faculty of al-ma'rifa bi-nuraniyah, meaning that they start seeing and witnessing things through light. Because the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam are light, they're nur. Before creation, we have many traditions from all sects in Islam, all madhahib in Islam, that they say that the Prophet and Imam Ali were light thousands of years before Adam was created. This is hadith al-nur, the hadith and the tradition of light. And this is not limited only to the followers of the Ahlul Bayt. In other groups of Islam, they believe in this tradition, maybe 50 sources from other schools of thought. So the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are light, nur. We look at ziyarat at Jamir Kabira, one of the important ziyarats. It says, خَلَغَكُمُ اللَّهُ أَنْوَارًا. God has created you, the Ahlul Bayt, as light. فَجَعَلَكُمْ بَأَرْشِهِ مُهْتَقِينَ. He then made you observe from his throne. He then made you observe from his throne. You were around his throne. You were around the arsh. حَتَّ مَنَّ عَلَيْنَا بِكُمْ. Until he favored us with your presence and brought you down from where you were around the arsh of God, and you were light, and they brought you to this world. Therefore, the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam are nur. Their majalis that we have, the majalis of Imam Hussein, the gatherings, the congregations we have for Imam Hussein, they are light. Their shrines are light. When a person reaches their shrines, it is full of light, but it takes a heart that is able to distinguish light and darkness, to be able to deal and cope and witness this nur and light. We are in need of light. We are in need of nur. When we pray, when we do salat, when we remember God, light comes and showers our hearts. When we separate from Him, when we separate from His commands, when we separate from His prophets and their successors, we are in absolute darkness. It's like pulling away light from the socket. And when you take out the cord, what happens? We stop shining. Therefore, as long as we're connected to God, we will have light. Our hearts will have light. This ma'rifat bin Uraniyad is in our traditions. We talked about the tradition of Salman and Abu Dharr when they approached Imam Ali, and he told them that this is Dinul Khalis, this is the pure religion. If you understand Imam Ali, if you understand the Imams through light, through nur, this is pure religion. In another tradition we have from Imam Hadi alayhi salam, that when he became the Imam, it says in this tradition, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, he says, we are from God and for surely to God we will return. And they ask him, Faqila lahu wa kayfa araft, how did you know that your father Abu Ja'far, Imam Jawad, passed away? How did you know? He says this in the tradition, Qala la'annahu tadakhalani dhillatun lillah lam akun a'rafuha. I felt humility. I felt a weight, a humility that I did not understand this or feel this before. I felt the weight and the humility of Imamat on me. So this is another proof that there is ma'rifat bin nuraniyat, that you can be able to know the Imams through light, through nur. And inshallah, we will connect to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We will connect to our Imams, inshallah, and develop this nur, because this is Deen al-Khalis. This is the pure religion. And when you know the Ahlul Bayt, you will know God. Bina urif Allah. Through us, God is known.
Standing here alone on a land so far from home, a place where angels cry, while innocent children die. Hussein has said goodbye, praying some of them survive the torture and the heat. They can't bear to watch him leave. They cry out, Hussein, ya Hussein.
Realizing and understanding the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam through nur and light. This is something that is very possible to do, and is something that has been done in history. We have in one of our traditions, a group of people from Yemen, a group of worshippers, good people, they came to the Prophet inquiring about his successor. So the Prophet gave him a verse of the Quran, and they kept asking, then, who is this? Who is this Hablullah? You attach yourselves to the rope of God. And then they kept asking, and finally he says, basically, go out in the lines of Salat, in congregation Salat, and find, you will find him yourself. See who your heart inclines towards. So they began to walk, this group of Yemeni worshippers. They began to walk and walk. And then they saw one person that they were sure that was their successor, the successor of the Holy Prophet. So they come back to him, and he says, is it him? And then the Prophet says, yes, you know, he affirms the fact that it is Ali ibn Abi Talib, it is Imam Ali. And he asks him, how did you know? And the Yemenis in this hadith, they say that in this tradition, they began crying and saying, oh, Messenger of God, we looked at the people, but our hearts did not incline to any of them. When we saw this man, our hearts trembled, and then our souls felt assured. Our eyes shed tears, and chests became pleased, as if he was our father, and we were his children. So these worshippers, they understood who the successor, who deserved imamat after the Holy Prophet. Who was the imam after the Holy Prophet, the guide, the leader, the guardian? And why? Through ma'rifat nuraniyah. That is how they did this. And then it says that the Prophet of Islam later on talked about how these people would follow and predicted that they would follow Imam Ali, and this was true. They continued and were loyal to Imam Ali, and many of them fought with him, with alongside Imam Ali against in the Battle of Safin, in the Battle of Jamal. They participated and were martyred in such battles. So this is a hadith that shows us that you have the ability to see and witness nur and light of Imam Ali through your hearts. And when we reach this Maqam al-Mahmud, inshallah, that we see, that we said in Ziyarat Ashura, we connect to the Imams with this nur and light, and we start, inshallah, becoming part of them and like them, inshallah.
in the limelight.
Russian President Vladimir Putin has recently said Western countries are hurting everyone, including their own people. And he was right. Believe it or not, the world is going to be multipolar as world economies are exhausted by the US military and financial bullying. And when we talk about the US decline, we cannot avoid talking about de-dollarization and end of dollar hegemony in the world. So efforts are on the way to topple this hegemony. In this regard, we have taken a look at the world media for further details. This is the second part. According to Global Times, Putin said Russia is abandoning the use of the US dollar and British pound, as the US has undermined the foundation of world economic system and the two currencies have thus lost credibility. Russian natural gas producer Gazprom and Chinese oil major CNPC will shift to payments in rubles and yuan for gas supplies to China, TASS reported recently. Myanmar also announced recently that it is purchasing Russian oil products in rubles. Experts said the move by Russian and Chinese energy companies, when fully implemented, will remove a large chunk of international energy trade away from the dollar-based international payment system. Also, the current environment with a group of seven countries trying to cap the price of Russian oil exports and a temporary shift in global energy mix toward to fossil fuels. China's imports of Russian energy is set to see further growth. Jin Li, an associate professor with China University of Petroleum, told the Global Times recently. China is the top investor and biggest trading partner for the Russian Far East. In 2021, trade with the region grew by 28% to $14 billion, and 54 Chinese invested projects with a total investment of $14.7 billion were used in infrastructure, energy, agriculture, or sectors related to the Arctic shipping route. Alex Cao, a Chinese entrepreneur participating in the forum, said the EEF brings together the heads of almost all big Russian firms and is an important platform for his company to develop business ties with. On account of the increased financial cooperation between China and Russia under the current environment, he intends to seek to ink a number of financial agreements with Russian banks to fuel the development of his company, which is in the agriculture sector, Cao said. Bilateral financial cooperation has seen progress in recent months as the use of Chinese yuan continues to expand in Russia. Big Russian companies, including Russia's largest gold miner, PJSC Polyus, and Russian aluminum company, Ryusal, have issued yuan-denominated bonds in the Russian market as Russian market players explore the yuan as an alternative to the US dollar.